Why is chapter 2 called Sankhya Yoga? We may all know that the main book where Gita exists is called Mahabharata. But in fact, Vyasa had originally named it as Jaya. But in the later years, the scholars have renamed it to Mahabharata. Similarly, the chapters of Gita, which were simply numbered as 1 to 18, have got special names in the later years, perhaps to indicate the subject matter and also giving room for every inquiry. Firstly, let us understand the word yoga in each chapter heading. It simply means the chapter about. It has nothing to do with the yoga that you practice. Literally, the word yoga is derived from the root yuj, meaning to unite or to merge. However, like other keywords such as dharma, karma, etc., the word yoga is also used differently at different contexts in our sastras. For example, in Patanjali's Yoga Darshana, the word yoga is used variably. As a goal, sadhyam, means, sadhanam, or the application of the means, chalanam. In the Yoga Sutra, yogaha siddha vriddhi nirodaha. The word yoga is used as a goal, as a sadhyam, which is the quietude of mind. At other places, such as in yogasana, yogapyasam, the word is used for an action. But in the chapter headings of Bhagavad Gita, the word yoga simply means section about a topic. So Arjuna Vishada Yoga means chapter about the despondency of Arjuna, and so on with each chapters. So one shouldn't say, for example, I am practicing Sankhya Yoga, etc. In the same way, one may talk about practicing other yogic exercises. So what is the meaning of the word Sankhya itself? Samyak kyayate Sankhyam. That in which truth is revealed is called Sankhya. Which means this chapter must be revealing a great truth. We shall see what the truth shortly. Also, maybe to clarify, there is a school of thought in Sanatana Dharma which is known as Sankhya Darshana. Again, it has nothing to do with the chapter heading in Bhagavad Gita. Sankhya Darshanam was compiled by sage Kapila Muni. It provides a logical and useful analysis of the objective world by treating everything as a composition of countable principles. That's why it's called Sankhya or countable. Basically, it sets out two key principles, Purusha and Prakriti, as eternal. Purusha is sentient or a conscious principle. Prakriti is insentient, made up of 5 subtle elements, 10 indriyas, 4 antakarnas, and etc., etc. The union of Purusha and Prakriti results in manifested life. The infinite number of Purushas and Prakriti, by joining and separating, form the manifestation and dissolutions of names and forms. Therefore, the final conclusion or the Siddhantam of Sankhya Darshana does not accept the need for a God. This is at odds with Vedanta. Even though the objective analysis given by Sankhya Darshana is deemed as an important and useful tool, we don't accept the Siddhantam. What about Yoga Sutra? Patanjali's Yoga Darshana, which is also based on Sankhya Darshana, is a useful tool for the Vedanta followers. Contrary to Sankhya Darshana, Yoga Darshana does accept the existence of a God. It creates a special Purusha called Purusha Visheshaka to differentiate from other Purusha. Yet its Siddhanta is also not acceptable to Vedanta, especially to Advaita Vedanta. But its knowledge, which leads to serene and quietude of mind, Chidda Suddhi and Dhrada Buddhi, is accepted and in fact recommended as a means to attain the necessary qualification for Vedanta study. Let's not digress in our discussion, but just remember chapter 2 is all about truth, and we shall see what this truth is all about. Why is this chapter 2 important? The scholars have concluded that in Gita, both the chapter 2 and chapter 18 are most important. In fact, the second chapter is considered as the executive summary, the Upakrama Bhaga, and the 18th chapter as a Upasamhara Bhaga, or the conclusion. You know, as we all know, in any well-written book, the executive summary provides the essence of the book, and the conclusion reiterates the recommended knowledge. In Gita, also this is the case. All chapters between chapter 2 and chapter 18 simply elaborate what has been already conveyed in those two important chapters. That's how one may see some of the concepts are often repeated or conveyed differently in other chapters. Yet these are consistent with the core message given in this chapter 2. So please do take as much time needed to contemplate and understand the true import of this chapter. Even if you do not study the rest of the Bhagavad Gita, understanding chapter 2, this tattvartha, the philosophical import of that, will take us a long way. Now let us start, let us recite the very first verse of Bhagavan's Upadesam. Do you know which verse it is? It's not the first sloka. Yes, we need to pass till 57th verse of Gita proper to start. Yes, it is chapter 2, verse 11.
If Balaji allows, I would like you all to recite that verse.
Yeah. Prajñāvādāṃ ca bhāṣase. Gadāśu agadāśuśa.
Nānu śocanti panditāḥ.